Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Welcome, friends. I am so glad to have you here. It's my favorite part of the afternoon, and it's my favorite day, weekday. It's Friday, which my kids call Fry-yay. I'm so happy it's Friday. And let me tell you, it has been a very long week. I thank you again and again. I cannot thank you enough for all of your prayers that you have sent, for those of you who have volunteered or donated or sent resources to those impacted by Hurricane Beryl. We are still awaiting full power restoration. There are a lot of people who are really, really hot and who really continue to need your prayers. And as we go on through the show, we are here in Houston. You might hear chainsaws. They are right outside. There are linemen working. There are lawn crews working. So please just put up with us as we have the noise. We are so glad that they're out and actually working. Even after Hurricane Beryl, we have had a lot of thunderstorms this week that have slowed down the work that the first responders are being able to do. And so it is currently not thunderstorming. So we are really glad to have the work going on. So thank you again for all of your prayers in that. Today is Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, where I answer all of my listener questions, or maybe not all of them that I can. I wish I could answer every one of them. And later on in the show, I'll be talking about this week's habit, which is tech tidying. I know that sounds, what did I say? Or digital decluttering. We're still talking about tech habits because our screens tend to suck our faces into them and they take time away from our families. So we're talking about some healthy ways that we can have that. And I'm really excited for the first part of the show to have Wesley Wildman on. He's been on many times here on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, Vice President at American Family Association. And he is going to tell us about their new program, Activate. But before we get to that, Wesley, when I was last in the studio, you came on the show and we had a very honest conversation where both of us confessed that we are not doing well as parents on our phones and spending time on our phones. And we said that we are going to try to do better. So how are we doing? And I'm going to let you go first. Well, how's that for throwing you under the bus?
No. This is called accountability.
And that's right.
Yeah, I appreciate the accountability. I'd love to give an update. So as of Monday, whatever day that was, Monday was the 8th. Monday, July the 8th, I came home. Of course, I called my wife around lunchtime and told her what was about to happen. We were going to do two things. One, we were going to have a family meeting as it relates to the kids' behavior and what we're going to expect, especially right in the middle of summer going, you know, turning the corner over into school year. So we had some changes we wanted to do. And when we got through with focusing on the kids and what we were going to do better and expectations and goals, then I finished with my own. And so as of Monday, July 8th, I told my family, and my son will for sure keep me accountable as he does with everything that I tell him he needs to do. And that is that for 1 hour, remember, for those that are listening, you can create whatever parameters you want. Mm-hmm. The idea is that you're moving forward and to do better. Mm-hmm. And so for me, what would help us out, what my family and me out, is I'm the first hour when I'm home. So if I get off at 3, if I get off at 5, or maybe it's one of those days where I coach baseball on Mondays and we don't get home to 7. So whatever day, whatever time I get home, whatever time, the first hour from the moment I walk in, my phone's going up. So that's my goal. That's what we're doing. And I said that on Monday. On Tuesday, we left on a work trip, so I haven't been home. We've been working and luckily got to take my family with me on my work trip. So that would mean, now that I'm thinking about it, today's my first day that I will actually get to practice that. So as soon as I get home today, putting the phone up for an hour, and that's for the foreseeable future. I didn't say for a month or 2 months or 3 months. And I also added that not only am I going to do that for 1 hour, there may be days where it goes longer than an hour. That's just the limit. That doesn't mean I won't do it for longer if I feel like that's necessary as well.
Wesley, I love that.
Yep, and
I that congratulations. That is absolutely awesome. And I love what you said about accepting accountability from your son, because I think sometimes we discount what our kids are able to do. But if you tell them that you're working on something, you are right. They will absolutely yes. hold you accountable and call you out. And they're developmentally wired to do that yep. because they think in terms of very concrete thinking, black mm-hmm. and white, right and wrong, and they know what it is. And it's a great reminder for us. It's a great hidden resource. Well, I guess if we're holding each other accountable, Wesley, you can hold me accountable. I've done terribly this week because we've had a hurricane, and I feel like I have been glued to my phone. I have been yeah. trying to get service. Haven't had service, thinking, is the hurricane coming here? Is it not? You know, are my in-laws safe? You know, all of mm-hmm. these kinds of things. So it's been a very difficult time for me to do that during all of the hurricane preparation. But what I have told my children, here's my confession here. I have told my children that once we have dinner, that after dinner, my phone is not going to be on my person, because so many times we carry nice. It in our pocket.
Yep.
But then you get a notification, you get a text message, you get a, you know, a sports score update,
that's
just
it.
Any little thing. And it's a distraction. You yep. hear that little buzz in your pocket. And I am determined to be physically and mentally and emotionally present from dinner until bedtime. Now, that doesn't mean I might not walk over and check something, but it is plugged in to the charger on the kitchen counter and not on my person. Go us.
Yeah, yes, go us. Hey, you're right. That's exactly what the three things that the phone will take away from you if you're not careful. So during dinner time, that's a wonderful idea to do that as well. And it really does make a difference. It does. It sounds like 1 hour here in my case, or in your case, whatever, however long dinner takes, whenever that dinner is. It sounds small, maybe insignificant, but you'd be real surprised. And I've done stuff like this on occasion, mm-hmm. just from conviction, but I never sat down and did what I'm doing now, which is for the foreseeable future. And so looking forward to it. And it sounds like you've got a good plan as well.
All right. Well, next time you come back on, we'll ask each other again, and we'll continue yep. this accountability and see how it's going, because it is really hard. But I am trying to practice what I preach and adopt these healthy habits. So I want our listeners to tune in and to keep listening, because in the next segment, I'm going to go a little bit deeper into that, into removing some of those distractions, so that you're not so quick to pull your phone out of your pocket and just start mindlessly scrolling or look at those notifications, because every minute that you don't do that is a minute that you can give back to your family.
Mm-hmm.
And one way that we know that people can give back to their families is through American Family Association's Activate training course. This is an in-depth educational worldview training course designed to provide Christians with biblical teaching on the core issues that American Family Association is addressing each day. This is really exciting. You gave us a preview of this. I think I might have been the first show to get the preview of it. I'll just be real proud of that for a
yes.
second. But it's official now. So tell us how what it is and how we can get it.
Yes, you can go to activate.afa.net. That's activate.afa.net is the website. It's an online and a DVD, whichever one you prefer, training course for biblical worldview. And it was created by the staff at AFA and produced by American Family Studios. And it was well thought out. It was prayed over for several months, then planned out for several months, and then took us just about a year to actually start the product and complete it. And so we are really thrilled. A lot, almost 2 years total from the conception to the birth of the training course has taken almost 2 years. And it's been just, like I said, a lot of hard work's gone into it. And everything in the course, the training course, let me explain what it is. And for those that are new to it, I've talked about it a good bit, so I assume a lot. But I've also been involved in the, It's a baby of mine that I've started almost 2 years ago. So for me, it's just something I've done every day. So sometimes I assume some things. So let me back up. For those that are new to Activate, it is an online training course where we take the five core issues of AFA and we teach you how to articulate those in a everyday setting, whether that be at Walmart, whether that be at church, whether that be at your job. And it's got a combination of apologetics and challenges, obviously classroom type setting information as well, in addition to very helpful videos. And so we've worked really hard on that. So we focus on five areas, and those five areas are: the first one is biblical authority. Second is sanctity of life, marriage and family, religious liberty, and stewardship. And we cover all those in five units. And it is a very thorough and well-done biblical worldview training. The book is almost the book that complements it is a fill-in-the-blank along with other additional information. And it's just shy or right at 100 pages. And what up to this point, I could talk a lot about the individual session and what they cover and the topics, and I could even go so far to tell you about the professors. But at the end of the day, when you hear biblical worldview training, you can probably either look up 6, 7, 8, 10 really good biblical worldview training courses or DVDs that you could purchase and get. And that's fine. And there are several good ones out there. I can think of other ministries that have done something very similar. However, what makes this extremely unique and makes it very specific to the work of AFA is its challenges. And so, for example, in the marriage and family section, activate challenges. One, we give you three Bible verses that we ask that you memorize as it relates to marriage and family. We also go so far to ask you to share the things, reteach was one of the things where you reteach what you've learned with individuals. Another thing would be we expect you to grab coffee or a meal or someone who is one life stage ahead of you and ask them questions on the particular topic that you've studied. And also we emphasize listening. We emphasize that because as we ask someone who's a couple years or life stage ahead of us about marriage and family, we want to be good listeners. Then we ask you to ask your pastor what his position is on marriage as it relates to Scripture. And then we also ask you to share the things that you've learned with a non-believer and get and ask their thoughts. So the challenge is, and that's just a small amount, and you can pick a handful of them. The challenges is what really separates us apart from anything else that you could find as it relates to biblical worldview, because we ask you to take what you've learned and to apply it while it's fresh on your mind and help guide you into being active in your faith.
I think this is so exciting, and it's really an opportunity, Wesley, to put your money where your heart is. You know, mm-hmm. people say put your money where your mouth is, but it's where your heart is. Mm-hmm. And we know that our listeners have a heart for discipleship, to disciple their families in whatever stage they might be in. And my producer, Stephanie, and I, we have already talked about getting a small group together and taking these challenges ourselves and sharing those experiences with our listeners so that we can practice what we preach, which is just so important to do, because in today's day and age, we all spend a lot of time complaining and bemoaning the state of the world and worrying about our kids and our families and what's going to happen and where is it going to be. But it's all about being intentional, and this is such a great opportunity to really put your money where your heart is and to disciple your family. Tell us again where we can get a hold of this curriculum, Wesley.
Yes, ma'am. You can go to activate.afa.net for those that are listening. And there we have the pricing structure. We have a group setting. We also have an individual household setting. Then as far as it relates to purchasing it, there you can find out. One of my favorite parts is frequently asked questions, right? You're probably thinking, well, what about this? What about that? Or how many of this? And how does it work? We got a wonderful frequently asked question. So if you're not quite sure that you want to purchase it, because you don't know a particular answer to the question, you can go to activate.afa.net. There's an FAQ there as well. So we're looking forward to we launched it July 1st, and we've had a great, great response, and it's something that has been asked for our listeners, and here we got it.
Fantastic. Well, we'll put that link in the Facebook live stream if you see it there. And don't go away. We'll be right back with more questions for Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there's an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
When the rain you want is a flood instead. And the roses bloom, but they're not quite red. When I reach the edge of my bravery, I'll still be singing at the banks of an imparted sea. Sometimes the only way through it is a hallelujah.
Welcome back, friends. That is very true, isn't it? Sometimes the only way through it is a hallelujah. And I think about the song that my weapon is a melody. That song was That's the Thing About Praise by Benjamin William Hastings and Blessing Offer. And no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, know that God sees you. He knows you. He loves you. He cares about you. He is in control. And when we are in a world that seems like it is spinning out of control, and daily we think, could anything crazier happen? And it seems like the answer is always yes. We know that God is not in heaven wringing his hands and worrying about what is happening. He is in control. He is sovereign. He does see us. He knows us. He loves us. He cares for us. And we are talking today about healthy habits. Usually on Fridays, I do a deeper dive into our healthy habit of the week. And for this week, we are talking about tidying up your tech, or digital decluttering, if you will. We've been spending a lot of time about tech habits because that is usually what I get the most questions on from listeners, from my patients, from people in my community. And it seems like tech is just our new normal, and it is redefining our social interactions. It is redefining our family time together, because even so much of our family interactions occur through, around, in the presence of technology. And technology is not a bad thing in and of itself. It is like a car, but we wouldn't just hand the keys to a 12-year-old and say, okay, go out there, be safe. But that's what we do with our kids. And also, when we are sitting here bemoaning the time and the energy that our kids are putting into social media and their phones and their apps, we have to, as parents, take stock of our own habits. Because here, I'll tell you a secret. When you see behavior in your child that bothers you, that is annoying, that is perhaps even downright sinful, many, many times, if you take a good, honest look in the mirror, you will see that that behavior is simply a reflection of something that you are modeling to them. So if we want to elicit good behavior in our kids, we have to model that for them. Now, we've talked a lot about tech habits, and we've talked about having tech-free zones, as Wesley and I talked about, those zones in your house, or maybe in your car, or at restaurant table. Where are those places where you are dedicated to having tech-free places. We also talked about having tech-free times, just as Wesley said that he was going to do. His time is an hour after he comes home from work. That is his tech-free time. We talked about tracking the time that you're spending on your tech and being honest with yourself, because what we know from research is that when we ask people about how much time you're spending on tech, they consistently underestimate the time that they're spending on tech by half or more. And we're just not honest with ourselves. We've also talked about being transparent with your technology for integrity, making sure that your spouse has full access to your phone. They know all of your passwords. In fact, my husband, he listens to the show every day. Hey, honey, how are you? But he told me after listening to that and thinking about it, he wanted me to have the password to his social media and to grant him access to it and say, here's the limit, and then to take it back just as a measure of accountability and to help him on just the time that he was spending there and to model that for our kids. I was really blown away. I have to tell you, I haven't yet said that back, but I'm still thinking about what are going to be my boundaries, because everybody has different circumstances and every family has different needs. But today what we're talking about is tidying up our tech. Let me share with you a scripture that I'm working to memorize this week. We talked about it earlier on the show on Tuesday with Lauren Gaines. It comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. That is such an important truth for us. And when we're looking at our tech use, the core issue here is discipline, being disciplined to have healthy boundaries around our tech use, because it is a thief of time. It takes away time that we have with our family. If you have an iPhone and you are walking into church on Sunday morning, you get that notification. This is how much time you spend on your phone. Now, there are legitimate purposes of business and social connection that you'd use. But I would venture to say that most of us cannot justify every moment of our phone use, and there is time there that would be better spent in God's word, connecting with our family, reaching out in service in our community. There is margin for time. And in a world where we talk so much about how we don't have time and life is going so fast, I will tell you the thief of time is coming from technology. So today, tech tidying. So what this means is take a moment to think about the way that you're using technology, the digital clutter that is surrounding you. Now, if you look around your house, it's easy to know if you're living in clutter. And research shows us that when we live in clutter, we tend to be less productive, we tend to be more stressed, and we tend to have negative health effects. But digital clutter is invisible. We don't see it, but it's there. I'm guilty of this. If you open my phone, you're going to see about 100 unread messages. You're going to see a lot of unread emails, that digital clutter that's just hanging in the air. You're going to have a lot of apps that you don't use, but that still distract you by giving you notifications. So you take a moment to pause and to look at your phone. You have emails you haven't answered. You have photos you haven't organized. It is really overwhelming. And research shows that there are actually some really specific negative effects of digital clutter. Let me tell you about those. They have the following adverse psychological effects on us. First of all, they take away our focus. And that is really, really difficult, because the more notifications you have, the more distracted you are. And this really hampers our ability to be able to be focused on what we're doing. And we call this sometimes multitasking, but I'm sorry to tell you, the research on multitasking is not very good. Those are not the most effective people. And so that can be hard, because it takes away our focus from what we're doing at the moment. And many times that can be personal interactions with our friends or family. Digital clutter also makes you less productive. You think that you're working so hard, but it really doesn't. Now, researchers have actually found that people are not able to sleep as well if they have more pictures that they need to organize. I mean, that can be, it's digital hoarding is what it is. And we can say, oh, look at our house, it's not so bad. But digitally, we hoard every app we've ever downloaded. We hoard every photo we have ever taken. I know I'm guilty of that. I may have 17 photos of the same exact thing that I just took a bunch, but never went back to do. And then every time I go back to look through my pictures, it irritates me because I think, ugh, I haven't done that. Digital clutter also makes us more stressed and anxious because we can't find our information. It's not organized. We know that we have to delete things, but we're scared to delete them because we want to make sure that we have them if we need them. How many of you have been stressed by the storage on your phone? When you try to take a picture and then all of a sudden you're distracted because you have to go through and delete five photos so that you can take one in the moment. I know this sounds so silly, but it is real. I'm telling you. It also is more expensive because you have more advertisements that are enticing you. You're buying more storage space because you run out of space. All of those things. There are great benefits to decluttering your digital presence. So let's talk about we usually talk about spring cleaning. Let's do a summer cleaning guide for tidying up your technology. So let me give you some tips here. First of all, look at your passwords. How many of you lose time because you can't remember your password and then you have to reset it and get an email and go back? And then also we've heard even just this week news of a very significant data breach. So having a password manager, now that can be an app or there are some smartphones that have this built in, but just make it a goal sometime this summer that you are going to get all of your passwords in order. You will have a manager that is password protected and that you won't waste time anymore on passwords. Another tip, delete or cancel any accounts that you don't use. Go through, delete all of the apps, the games that you're not playing, the apps that you're not using, that app you downloaded one time so you could get on the wait list at a restaurant. Just delete it. And you may be surprised at how many online accounts you have that you don't use. And those all send emails. So go and unsubscribe from emails that you don't read. Maybe you signed up once because you wanted the discount. But these are all things that are taking time from our families. That can be really, really hard. Go through and organize your emails. That can be so hard to do, but organize your emails into folders so that when you're doing your family business, when you are trying to remember what day you're supposed to bring what to the school for what party, you are organized in that way. And really continuing to hoard all of this digital clutter, it makes us more anxious because then we can't find it. We're trying to find something at the last minute, and then we're snapping at our kids, snapping at our husband because we can't find the tickets that we need because we can't remember where we put them in the email. They're somewhere in here. I'm telling you, this is something that impacts relationships, and we are not being honest with ourselves about acknowledging how much that it does. All right, here's another thing. This is a big one. I haven't done it yet. I'm just going to be really honest, but here, I'll tell you to do it. It is on my list to do this fall, is to organize your photos. That is so hard to do. So aside from making your camera roll and your phone easier to navigate, and that gives you free storage space, which is really good. And you're able to go and find those pictures so that when you are visiting relatives, when you're standing in line at the grocery store and you see a neighbor you haven't seen and you want to show them a picture of something your baby did this week, you can find all of those things easily and you're not reminded about how irritated you are that everything is so disorganized. Another thing you can do is update your computer software. So sometimes these updates will increase the speed and how fast your device goes. So that can save you some time. And it also gives you some more security. Make sure those devices are protected from viruses or malware. And this is something we need to really be talking to our kids about. and making sure that they know how to protect themselves from online predators, from spam, from phishing attacks that happen through text messages and those kinds of things. Go through your text messages and those advertisements that you don't want anymore. Block those numbers on your phone or unsubscribe, because every single time your phone gives you a notification, which really, if we go back to looking at tracking that, I encourage you to just go back and take stock, or go take stock this week, take a summer stock, and look at how many notifications you get on your phone. And if that phone is on your body, that is how many times you are pulled away from whatever it is that you are doing in the moment. I am really convicted about how much time this is taking away from our relationships. And how many times have you been in a conversation with someone in your family where you feel that phone buzz in your pocket and you say, you just look at it and then you give them this half apology like, oh, sorry, that's just this, or, oh, don't worry, that's a score, or I'll just look at that later. These are things that are slowly stealing moments from our family. And the way that we can help this is by tidying up those things and really stopping, putting boundaries so that those things can't take away from us, by setting tech-free zones. Where in your house do you know that your family can access you without feeling like they have to compete with your smartphone? That is a really big thing. Where are the times that your children know that they can come to you, that you're not going to be distracted by a work email, by a text message from a friend, by a notification of a sale that's happening, and then before you know it, you are three pages deep into looking at more electronics? All of these things are not bad in and of themselves, but if we don't put healthy boundaries around them, I think that if we were to see the digital footprint that we had, the number of times we break eye contact with our children, the number of times we interrupt a conversation where they're sharing their heart with us, the number of times that we are physically and mentally and emotionally pulled away from a relationship connection, I think it would break our heart. So let's go back to that scripture, Hebrews 12:11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And we want to have the peaceful fruit of righteousness when it comes to our digital presence. Now listen, when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about helping your kids develop healthy relationships this summer. We'll talk about situationships and simping. I'll be right back.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming.
Comforts the widow, cries for injustice, feels every sorrow, carries the pain of his children, Jesus does.
So we sing praise to the Father who gave us the Son, praise to the Spirit who's living. Save me from who I was, 'cause that's what Jesus does.
Welcome back, friends, to Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday. That song is Jesus Does by We the Kingdom, and that is what he does. He saves us from who we are when we make mistakes, and even when we can't get our tech lives in order, he is there for us. We are talking about healthy habits. I hope that you were listening in as we shared this week's healthy habit, and that is tidying up your tech and being disciplined to do that so that it is not a thief of time from those relationships and things that matter. That is so important, the most important thing. Another important thing, and something I'm getting a lot of questions about, is healthy friendships. How do we help our kids to develop healthy friendships? And of course, the answer to that is just like the answer is to everything for parenting problems, is we have to model those. We have to model the behavior that we want our kids to see. We have to model the values we want them to emulate. We have to model the kinds of friendships we want them to have. We have to model the kind of marriages we aspire for our kids to have. And the challenge for kids today, especially, is that digital connections have really changed the landscape of friendship. I was talking about this with Pastor Brian yesterday after we did the show, which great show yesterday. If you're walking through hard times, make sure you listen to that show, War in the Wilderness with Brian Haynes. And we were talking about the hurricane that's happening here in Houston and how kids cannot wrap their mind around the fact that you would actually, that it would be socially acceptable to just go to someone's house without texting, without calling, and to actually, wait for it, knock on the door. Oh my goodness, no, like people actually did that. It sounds so silly and unbelievable to those of us who are in a different generation, but that is not how things work today. You text before you come over, or you call. Calling even is a stretch, but usually you're going to text or meet somewhere. But we can have interactions and friendships without the presence of digital technology. But it has made in-person friendships more casual because you say things online that you wouldn't necessarily say in person, and it changes often the power dynamic of a friendship. And I've been getting a lot of questions about something called a situationship. I know, I got to say that again because it took me a few minutes. Situationship. Okay, what is this? Well, this is vernacular for Gen Alpha and Gen Z. It's basically a casual, undefined, commitment-free dating or friend situation. So it's a little less than a relationship and a little more than romance that might or might not be there. Sometimes people would call this friends with benefits. Basically, it's friends saying, let's just hang out together. Maybe there's physical interaction or maybe not, but we are not going to discuss the status of our relationship. Whatever happens, happens. No strings, no boundaries, no expectations. Clearly, this is not a healthy situation for kids, but I see so many teens and young people who accept this because, again, that online interaction makes them feel like that's normal. A lot of this comes from online dating, and you'd be really surprised at the statistics that show kids in high school using, and even junior high, using online dating apps to find each other and have this casual, no strings attached, I'll just take whatever you give me. Let me tell you something. Children need to be empowered to advocate for themselves, to recognize when there is unequal power dynamic, when they need to expect more from a relationship. We need to be teaching them that they are made in the image of God and that they are worthy of respect and being treated well. So here are signs that you or your child might be in a situationship. If you don't meet or interact with each other's friends or family. Now, their friends or family should be important. And so if you're important to me, that means your parents are important to me. Your siblings are important to me. And I've seen this at times with my kids when you can kind of tell as a parent when there was one kid that had come over and was really, mean, honestly, to one of my other kids and said, oh, how long do they have to stay here? Like, can they go away now? And my child was like, oh, no, that's not how we do things here. Another sign, you don't talk about short or long-term future plans. It's just all about what can you do for me today? Another sign, there's no emotional connection. There aren't any personal questions. You don't talk about things like hopes or dreams or fears. Think small talk or frankly, dirty talk. Like that's about the depth of where it's going to go. You don't go out of your way for each other. You only engage when it's convenient or there's no other plans. It's usually last minute, just kind of my fallback friend. Communication in these situationships are usually secretive. It's inconsistent. Excuses for not showing up, for not following through are very vague. And there's no expectation of exclusivity. You don't have to explain any other friendships or any other dates. And the interactions are usually very casual. There's no planned date, minimal expense. I'm not spending money on you. I'm not putting out effort for you. But I'm telling you that this generation can see this as increasingly normal, that this is what they should come to expect from a friendship or relationship. And that is not what we want to show them as a biblical model of relationships or friendships, because that support is shallow, they're self-serving, it's unequal feelings, and that feeling of insecurity and ambiguity leads to a crisis of confidence. And all of a sudden, then you see your kids just desperately trying to please this other person and gain more of their affection, more of their respect, more of their time, but it's going to end in resentment and anxiety and conflict. So what can we do as parents, as grandparents, as other adults who are invested in family relationships? Well, you need to talk as a family about the list of desired characteristics in a relationship. I can't tell you how many times I have had one of my own children who has been in a season of loneliness where I remember one of my children in particular just praying every night that God would give them a friend. And I would pray along with them that God would give them a friend. Ask the question, what kind of characteristics are you looking for in that friendship, in that relationship? And as parents, we need to support and cultivate positive relationships in our children's lives with a strong, healthy friend group. Invest in those relationships. Go to those play groups at the park. Show up whenever kids are having a gathering together. Take the initiative to tell your kids, identify kids who might be a good influence and say, why don't you invite so-and-so over? I'd be glad to order pizza for you or to rent a movie for you to watch or stream a movie or whatever that is. Make sure that you are investing in those positive relationships and making it easy for them to invite the right people into their life. Most importantly, we need to communicate messages of value to our children. Build their self-esteem. Let them know they are worth the wait for a good friend or a good romantic relationship. They are worth the effort it takes to put time into cultivating interest in what they are interested in. That is really important. And kids may roll their eyes when we tell them, you're wonderful, you're beautiful, you are worthy of love. They may roll their eyes, but it means so much more than you know. And if your teen is emerging into that dating stage, create a plan for dating boundaries. Who, where, when, and how will these interactions occur? What are their expectations? I think even from a very young age, it's so important for moms to go out on dates with their sons, teach them how to treat a woman, teach them to open the door, teach them how to pay, how to calculate a tip, how to do those things that they can do with confidence. And dads, it's important to date your daughters. Show them how to be treated. Set that bar so high because there is a really special interaction. I've said before that when moms give their daughters a compliment, they just accept it as that, a compliment. But when dads give daughters a compliment, it becomes their identity. That's how much power you have. So create plans for boundaries with dating and show them the expectation for standards. That is so important. And along this line, a similar concept of what I'm seeing is something called simp or simping or simp nation. You might hear and say, okay, again, here's where my kids would make fun of me because I know what all of these things mean, but somehow I cannot use it in a sentence in a way that's not cringe. That's what my kids tell me. But they may say, oh, you're simping for that person, or he's a simp for that person. What is it? Well, it's actually simp is short for the word simpleton. And believe it or not, this was grifted from a 1923 New York Times article. And it's appeared in subsequent decades and been revamped. It's mostly been in hip hop culture or rap lyrics, but it went viral in 2020 when a TikTok influencer, yes, the source of all great Gen Z wisdom, coined the term simp nation. And basically that he was calling out young people desperate for attention or affection from a love interest when that interest is not returned or it's not returned to the same degree. So it's complicated, it's nuanced, it's still evolving. Ask your kids about the term simp. And simping your friends can be seen as dissing your friend group in favor of a date. That may be a way that they use it. But now more than ever, you know, I worry about boys today because boys need guidance to develop confidence in handling themselves in a world where every word, every action, every digital interaction can be dissected and labeled in the public square of social media. So for boys in particular, if you're kind and thoughtful and polite and you return phone calls to a girl who interests you, well, you're a simp. If you're strong, assertive, well, you're an embodiment of the Me Too movement and everything that's wrong with men today. What is a guy to do? But there's truth in extremes of the spectrum, for sure. From simp to just being a plain old jerk. But boys need to know their value while respecting the value of others. And me, even more importantly, being confident in their own space and in their own masculinity. So it's important for us. We talk a lot about talking to our daughters about dating. There's a lot of conversations about dads talking to guys who are taking their daughters out on a date. But don't forget to talk about your sons and about their specific expectations for pursuing or engaging in a dating relationship. We need to be talking and guiding them on boundaries and guidelines. So how should communication be initiated? Can they social media message? Do they text? Do they have a phone call? Do they ask in person? These can be very difficult social norms for boys to navigate today. And what is okay? I mean, as parents, we have a very prescribed notion of what that should look like, but we need to talk to our sons and find out what is going on in their friend group and what would be appropriate. What hours is it okay to communicate? How late is too late to send a text or a social media or FaceTime? How early is too early? What boundaries should be there be on FaceTime? Is interaction unrestricted in private spaces? Parents, I encourage you, do not allow video conferencing for your teens in unrestricted spaces because especially in their bedroom, that is usually a place they feel the safest in the entire world and they can make very poor choices about their speech, about their actions, about what they share. I think that should be a tech-free zone and a boundary in place. Other questions, who's going to pay? What's a realistic budget? Who's going to drive? Who's paying for gas? Is there a city curfew? What are guidelines on communicating where you are and where you're going? Do you need to ask permission or just tell me? Will you use GPS tracking as accountability? They need to know that. How will your son respond if he's accused of simping or other negative conversation occurs? And how should your son respond if the girl just doesn't text or message or call back? Oh my goodness, that's so hard for us as parents. Well, listen, there is so much more to talk about. Keep listening in. We will still be exploring this summer, talking about how we can help our kids cultivate healthy relationships and frankly, how we can cultivate them for ourselves because we need to model what we want to see. Well, thank you so much for listening in. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face toward you and give you peace. And I will see you right here next time on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, where we are prescribing more hope for healthy families. Have a great weekend.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.